We are 2 days out from tipping off to the NBA Finals. Who you got? Plant your flag today, Celtics or Mavericks, here on Theoretically Speaking.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
When life gives you lemons, you talk about the NBA Finals. C-Cat, I know we had been hinting and teasing and previewing having Okeechobee's finest and third-year tackle for the New York Giants, Evan Neal, on today's show. Something came up after OTAs out in East Rutherford, so no Evan Neal today. No Evan Neal today. He still has his camp on Saturday in Okeechobee. He plans to be in town for that, giving back to the youth. And we plan on bringing you Evan Neal later on in this week, the number 7 pick in the 2022 NFL Draft. With a lot to prove out there in New York this year, we will get Evan Neal this week for you. But, thankfully, we still have some great things to talk about here, and something that's burning passionately on my mind right now is not the Caitlin Clark, Kennedy Carter discourse that's going on in the WNBA. It's not even the fact that Tua Tagovailoa, we got some words out of him about what the contract negotiations are going to be between him and the Dolphins brass as we figure out, are they going to really let him play on that fifth-year option out there in Miami Gardens, or are they going to lock in Tua for a long-term deal? He seems confident. He seems like he is at least in good spirits and thinks that they'll get something done before the start of the fall here. So we'll see what shakes out there for the Miami Dolphins. It's got to be the fact that we are now 2 days away, 2 days away from the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics tipping off the 2024 NBA Finals. And this thing is going to come down to not just experience, not just the health of these teams, because there is an injury update that we have to give you, but also who is going to show up and actually be the best player and really the best duo on the court when they tip things off at TD Garden. C-Cat, we had a shortened conference finals in the NBA. It did cause for us to do a lot of readjustment, right? It shined a bigger spotlight on so many other sporting events or headlines that would have been paling in comparison had we had some basketball to talk about. Are you at least the littlest bit excited that we're now 2 days away, 2 nights away from actually getting some basketball back tipped off so we can start talking about the game and not the discourse that's happening off the court in other areas of basketball right now?
I am excited. There's something exciting about knowing that history will be written in the next 2 weeks. I'm very excited.
That's the thing that people are slacking on too with these finals. Like in about a week and a half, in about 2 weeks, either Luka Doncic is going to have his first ever NBA title at 25 years old after being an MVP candidate for the past 3 years. You know the things he did overseas before he came to the NBA, being the first MVP in the EuroLeague to do so as a teenager. His first year there, like Luka Doncic has an incredible resume. And then on the other side of things, like, is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that tandem, finally going to bring the 18th banner to the Boston Celtics? Are they finally going to get over the hump and win a championship? We've seen that duo make it to the final round before and get outsmarted, outclassed, and outplayed by the Golden State Warriors back in 2022. Can they finally make it happen this year? And at the end of the day, either Tatum or Luka, they're going to have a ring on that finger. And there's going to be a lot different way that you have to discuss those guys when it comes to the pantheon of superstars in the NBA. But let's not get too ahead of our skis. I want to give everyone an opportunity here to plant their flag on who they're rolling with in these NBA finals. It's 2 days out. We'll obviously have more time to discuss the ins and outs of the matchup of the number one overall seed Celtics and the underseeded Dallas Mavericks, who made their way here. But yeah, Thursday night is the tip-off, game one. And for me, I already gave out my top five of who are the better, you know, who's the better duo or who the better players coming into this NBA Finals series. I gave my top five out. People were not happy at number five. I had Derek Lively the second. the big man for the Dallas Mavericks, who I didn't have in that top five because I was uncertain as to what his status would be ahead of the NBA Finals, was Celtics big Kristaps Porzingis, who I know there's a lot of discourse about how Kyrie Irving and the Boston and the Dallas Mavericks, Kyrie is going to be going back into Boston, a place where he's hated, a place where he left with a lot of fans having a distasteful aftertaste when he left out of there after promising he'd come back and then dipping out and not really feeling like he leaned in on being a veteran in that locker room. Kyrie going to go back and kind of chase that. Well, Kristaps Porzingis on the other side is expected to be available for game one. Let's not forget he had that run in Dallas with Luka Doncic where Mark Cuban was so excited to talk about how he's building up this franchise around the European players because, well, they do it the right way and it's, you know, forget the AAU ball that American players do. And that experiment did not work out with Kristaps Porzingis, but it's worked out so far for the Boston Celtics. And we do have news on his availability for game one of these NBA Finals. And to get to that news, we give you our Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Injury Report.
My leg! My leg! I am not angry. I am in pain. My leg!
Time now for an injury report.
My head and torso!
Wow, that's crazy. They hit me everywhere except
my leg!
Presented by Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Go where the pros go.
My leg!
Boston Celtics center Kristaps Porzingis has broken his silence. He said today that the plan is for him to be available for game one of the NBA Finals against the Dallas Mavericks. Porzingis has been out for 5 weeks with a right calf strain. And again, if you have not been paying attention to those Celtics who had 64 wins in this year, who had the top seed overall in the NBA, Porzingis, I mean, he's had somewhat of a resurgent year. 20-plus points, 7-plus boards, been a key cog for the Celtics offense and also as a help defender and a rim defender for them. He's going to be key in these NBA Finals, especially going up against that two-headed monster of the Dallas Mavericks with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively II. The Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Injury Report presented to you by Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County and through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Now, one thing about the Kristaps Porzingis news is he says the plan is to be available. He seemed a bit ginger on whether or not he would actually be 100%. He's a 7'3" center who's going to be forced to move his feet, especially going up against this Dallas Mavericks team. I mean, you saw how much Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving were picking on fully healthy Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. See, Cat, like,
it was ugly.
It ugly might not even be the word. The names calling and the brashness and the scoring that Luka Doncic was doing, especially in the face of Rudy Gobert, it didn't look fair. Kristaps Porzingis is going to be tested in these NBA Finals. That right calf, the health of it all, right? Like, if it's 70%, 80%, it's going to get worn down the more and more these finals go on. So one of the biggest things is there's a rest versus rust conversation that comes into play whenever you have a big gap between series like we've had with the conference finals in the NBA and the NBA Finals. I feel like that rest versus rust, the rest side of it all, right? The benefit of it all, of all of these days off, is going to lean heaviest in the Celtics' favor, but I'm interested to see what Kristaps Porzingis looks like one game after or a day after when he has to get switched out on those two diabolical guards with the Dallas Mavericks. Like, he's really, really going to get put to the test in game one there.
Yeah, we punished the Celtics a bunch throughout the entirety of these playoff runs because the opponents they've been playing haven't been very good.
Yeah.
And the Celtics themselves haven't looked really good, even though they only lost two games, I believe, in the past three series. So
yeah,
it's not the complete Celtics team until we see them in this finals, and we're going to get them.
we're going to finally get that full Celtics team, or what we expect to be, if Porzingis, again, he says the plan is to play in game one. And that does alter what I think about this series. Generally speaking, it's tough to get a read on an NBA Finals because you have less data points. The Mavericks and Celtics only played twice during the regular season. One of those games, you can throw it out the window because, like you can with most regular season games in the NBA, guys were missing. There were not the star players that you're going to see on the court all there. But what I will say is the confidence that I have in Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving as a duo, the confidence I have in their chemistry and their ability to not just take turns but play off of each other, it makes me feel a lot more comfortable on the Dallas side in these NBA Finals, specifically with a guy like Kyrie Irving, who's been in this spot before in 2016 and did it with LeBron James in a way that took out one of the most magnificent teams we've ever seen in those 2016 Golden State Warriors. That were like people forget the footnote on that series, it becomes because you think about the LeBron James block, you think about the Kyrie Irving shot, you think about Draymond Green getting ejected and suspended because of the flagrant foul and the kicking of LeBron James's, you know, area. People forget like that. Yeah, that was the 73 win, Golden State Warriors. That was unanimous MVP Steph Curry that Kyrie Irving and LeBron James found a way to take out. And C-Cat, you brought this to my attention right before we went on air here today. LeBron, even himself, is kind of feeling the nostalgia from that series and that team because on his Mind the Game podcast, apparently he was out there singing the praises of Kyrie Irving today ahead of the NBA Finals. Like, people forget how immaculate Kyrie was in that situation, and now he's in a situation with another dominant forward in Luka Doncic who can carry him to another championship.
And Kyrie has self-admittedly kind of said that my attitude wasn't in a great place when I was in Boston, is what he was saying, put it in his own words, where I think he has matured since kind of the dark side of Kyrie while maintaining the great side of Kyrie Irving, where he's a wizard, he's a magician on the basketball court. He's your Hooper's favorite Hooper.
You know what my biggest mistake was? Back when we were all having the Kyrie discourse and everybody's like, yo, we don't have to apologize to Kyrie Irving because what he did and what he said and whatever links he shared, he did, and we reacted in the moment. The one regret I, Theo Dorsey, have about all of the Kyrie Irving discourse has nothing to do with the off-the-court stuff and everything to do with there was a time when I felt Kyrie Irving was no more than a Zach LaVine in his post-LeBron James career. And what I mean by that is a guard who can give you a lot on the offensive end, is a high-octane scorer, electrifying player to watch, but doesn't impact winning in a way that is mattering when you're talking about championship contenders. And we saw it kind of play out, right? Like, we saw what it looked like when he left LeBron. We saw the franchises he left in ruins in both Boston and Brooklyn when he left those teams. But he really is proving us all wrong on this playoff run with the Dallas Mavericks. And me specifically, the disrespect I had, it wasn't even off the court stuff. It was relegating his on-court impact to Zach LaVine when there's no way he could do the things that Kyrie's doing this deep into a postseason. That was totally ridiculous by me.
Yeah, part of me is wondering whether or not a winning cures all, right? Like, you just kind of look at a guy differently when his actions off the court really don't impact the team's success in a negative way, where look at the Mavericks are now. Even if Kyrie was a bit of a jerk, who cares? I mean, he's winning. And then part of me thinks, I watched him on NBA on TNT after the postgame a couple of times when it wasn't Luka there, when it was Kyrie. Just the attitude that Kyrie carried at that desk felt like a different person. Maybe it's because of the perception of Kyrie wasn't better representative of who he actually was in year 2020, 2019, 2021, and maybe I was getting a flawed view of him, but that seemed like a mature adult, someone who you would beg to have on your team.
Yeah, and the thing that we discount in all of this is, yeah, no kidding, Kyrie in 2015, 2016, 2017, as he was growing in the spotlight and finding himself, is a different Kyrie than now at, what, 32 years old, who has a lot more perspective, who has actually put a lot out into the public, got some, you know, response, some feedback, and good on him for evolving as a person, whereas some people stay grounded in their ways. Like, when we're having these discussions and when we're having these debates, a lot of times people are just getting more and more fortified and rooted in their own opinion. Good on him to at least seem to have been evolved a little bit. And also, good on him. Did you see who he signed? I just saw this report, Asham Sharania tweet. Let me go back and find it right quick. Kyrie Irving, who is obviously in the news for most of the right reasons these days, being with the Dallas Mavericks, getting ahead of this NBA Finals. He's signing his first signature athlete for his Anta shoe line. And you know who he's getting?
Who's that?
His father, Dedrick Irving.
Huh.
What a early Father's Day gift. He's really, he's upping the ante that anybody can do. I think we're, 3 weeks away from Father's Day? Nobody ever gets a good Father's Day gift. And this dude is making his dad a signature shoe deal. He's getting a signature shoe deal before, like, Cooper Flagg gets one. That's pretty crazy.
I feel like there's something else behind that. There's, like, a tax reason. Because, like, there's, like, a limit on how much you can give as a gift without it being taxed. I think there's something there, Theo.
No, but he's signing him. He's signing him as a signature shoe deal as his first signature athlete. I don't even know if it's a gift can write off. He's an employee almost.
That's what I'm saying. He's an employee, so get taxed differently. That's my first fire from the hip without any financial or legal like knowledge in my brain. That's the first thing I thought of.
C-Cat is thinking ahead. And you know what? Maybe you do have some good legal and financial backings up there because you're a guy that thinks smart when it comes to legal decisions. And there's a lot of people out here that get themselves in sticky situations when driving on these Florida roads, and they might need some legal help. And we know exactly where you should go if you do get yourself in a car accident, a truck accident, a slip and fall. You know what to call. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, they will fight for you. They don't get paid unless you do. They will fight to get you the maximum compensation you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes just one phone call to take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. If you're tuning in and you wanted to hear from Evan Neal of the New York Giants third-year tackle from Okeechobee, you got to wait. We did have a postponement with that interview, so sorry for putting that out there. We'll make sure we get Evan Neal to you. He also has that camp coming up on Saturday, which is going to be a big deal in Okeechobee. When we come back, we have the Get Around, and more specifically, the San Francisco 49ers. They finally did it. They reached an extension with their star offensive player, but not necessarily Brandon Ayuk. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We'll discuss that and more on Theoretically Speaking after the break.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Well, I tell you, the Dallas Cowboys, whole lot of headlines, not a lot of championships these days. But where you can always find champions, well, they're all over the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. The Kaiser Seahawks now have won 22 national championships, including back-to-back natties in men's lacrosse. They've got 3 straight NAIA women's swimming and diving titles. And, of course, they have the reigning champions from the gridiron, the football Seahawks from this past season. KU's also captured 61 regular season and 63 conference tournament titles. Plus, they got a Learfield Cup trophy to go along with it. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawk Athletics, KUSeahawks.com. I was just up there at the flagship campus catching the Seahawks team camp. They had a bunch of the best high schoolers in the state in high school basketball going after it on the court. Shout out Coach Chief. Who was out there holding it down. It was some good action. Always love to see some good competition on the hardwood. We have Dean Thomas and Tina coming up soon here. We're going to talk some fight topics and also, of course, have the theoreticals. But our favorite thing to do each and every day is to get around to all the biggest sports topics of the day all across the nation. And the only way to do that is to take you on a ride with us, take you on a journey. And that journey we call the Get Around.
What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round we go.
I get around. The Get Around today brought to you by the Boca Raton Bowl. I'll tell you about that soon, but first, we got to get to our first stop.
Next stop,
Arlington, Texas, where Dallas Cowboys wide receiver C.D. Lamb, who is still seeking a contract extension, he skipped mandatory minicamp.
C.D. Lamb is a guy you do have to pay, but the Dallas Cowboys have three decisions in front of them right now. They've got to pay Micah Parsons. You would think they're going to pay Dak Prescott at some point. And then they have to also make do on C.D. Lamb, who on the heels of what Justin Jefferson just signed, 4 years, $140 million, resetting the wide receiver market, $35 million a year, the most for any non-quarterback. If you're C.D. Lamb's agent, you're going to walk right into that office with Jerry Jones and you're going to list out the facts. Between 2020 and 2023, Justin Jefferson and C.D. Lamb have nearly identical stats. C.D. has four more touchdowns. Jefferson has about 700 more yards. C.D. hasn't beat on catches. Same amount of Pro Bowls. Same amount of All Pros. C.D. Lamb is a top five wide receiver in the league right now. The price of wide receivers has gone up contract after contract, starting with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Then you had the A.J. Brown. You had Devonta Smith. You saw Jalen Waddle get paid. He's going to come in there somewhere between $33 and $35 million. I don't think he can exceed Justin Jefferson. But you know how it goes, C-Cat.
Mm-hmm.
The next up to get paid is the one that usually sets the high watermark. We'll have to see.
Next stop,
Paris, France. Delray Beach native Coco Gauff reached the semifinal of the French Open as the number three seed.
This one right here is pretty big for Coco Gauff. This is her third straight time reaching a Grand Slam semifinal. The only thing is, as Coco Gauff makes it to the Grand Slam semifinal, who stands in her way is the world number one in tennis, Iga Swiatek. Swiatek. I always say it wrong the first time, but Swiatek has beaten Gauff 10 out of the last 11 times meeting her. Gauff has an opportunity here to beat who is demonstrably the best tennis player in the world, and the Delray Beach native we're rooting for, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, third straight Grand Slam semifinal, nothing to scoff at for the 20-year-old out of Delray Beach.
Next stop,
San Francisco, California. The 49ers and Christian McCaffrey have reportedly agreed to a two-year extension, averaging $19 million per year.
There's three non-quarterbacks on the offensive side of the ball that you can really feel good about. Okay, if this guy's in my scheme, if he's in our locker room, that's our offense. Defensive coordinators are struggling to figure out ways to stop them. That's Tyreek Hill for the Miami Dolphins, who's also clamoring for a new contract because he's seeing the money go up. That's Justin Jefferson, who just got paid yesterday, and then Christian McCaffrey, who makes his major payday today. A two-year extension. 49ers didn't need to do it, but they rewarded a guy who was the reigning offensive player of the year. And again, the dude throws touchdowns, he catches touchdowns, he runs for touchdowns. There's nothing on the field he can't do. Positionless is Christian McCaffrey. And C-Cat, the running back position's been getting devalued. CMC is like, he's a unicorn.
Yeah, he's the exception. He's like Debo Samuel, running back or quarterback, or running back, quarterback, or wide receiver. CMC does it all.
Whatever you need, and also Brock Purdy, man, you just have a wealth of riches. We'll see what's left in the pot for them to pay Brock Purdy. But what's even more telling about this contract is yet another contract is signed, and Brandon Ayuk is still left seeking what his future is going to be. I'm likely thinking he's going to get traded.
Next stop,
back to Theo's old stomping grounds, Houston, Texas. C.J. Stroud joined the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast and said Patrick Mahomes and Matt Stafford are the only quarterbacks that he watches. He also made a bold claim about Stafford's career.
Hold on. If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee he might have had more rings, for sure. I think Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford had more rings than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he could have another ring probably.
I'd say he had like three, four.
He might. It's possible. Yeah,
bro.
I got to agree with C.J. Stroud right here. And it feels a little sacrilegious to go against a guy in Aaron Rodgers who has, what, four MVPs, who's done so well for himself in this league and still has people believing in him at age 40. But the 1 year we saw Matt Stafford get put into a franchise that wasn't, you know, in the pits of the NFL, get paired with an offensive genius in Sean McVay, and have a real number one in Cooper Kupp, he went out and won a Super Bowl. Like, he's proven to us in his latter years, now that he's cleaned up the turnovers a bit more, that he can be that kind of guy. And Aaron Rodgers in his prime, outside of the Super Bowl winning year, he's had some stinkers in the playoffs, including the year that Stafford went to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that 49ers game at home, I think what they had, like 10 points.
Yeah, that was bad. Ugly. I don't care about the weather.
Yeah. I'm sick of quarterbacks blaming the weather, too. Like, I get it, but also just be better.
Next stop,
Treviso, Italy. James Harden is at an Adidas Eurocamp to promote his new shoes. He had this to say about how he wants his fans to remember him as a basketball player.
That I was a winner, that I was a teacher. You know what I mean? That I
all right, cut the sound there. A winner and a teacher, James Harden? Like, we could go back to the rest of what he had to say, but how are we supposed to take anything seriously? It feels more aspirational for James Harden to say that I was a winner, that I was a teacher, than anything that we've literally seen get played out. Now, theoretically speaking, James Harden can become that for the Clippers as a widely old vet. Like, his numbers have ticked down year after year, but he does suit up and play. You can at least give him that. And he has seemed to find his way with the Clippers. He loves playing in L.A. But winner and teacher, I mean, when you go through like the first 20 words that come to mind with James Harden, I don't even think those scratch the surface.
No, beard, three-point shooter.
Yes.
Drawing fouls.
Jersey retired at a strip club.
Weight fluctuating, just in general. Sometimes he's big, sometimes he's small.
The master of dictating his future, forcing his way out of franchises.
Yeah.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of doing that. It's LeBron James. It's James Harden. Kyrie's had a good run with it. Kevin Durant a little bit.
Done a lot of big threes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but winner and teacher.
No, we'll be here for a while before we get to those.
Like, please, get out of here, James Harden.
Next stop.
Right here in South Florida, go to your nearest Duffy's.
Duffy's Sports Grill. Everybody say it with me. Duffy'sMVP.com. That's where you can go right now to check out that wondrous menu. You can peruse over the award-winning burgers, the award-winning wings. I am sad to say Burger Mania is over with, but there's still plenty of delectable burgers on that menu for you to choose from. There's 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day at your favorite Duffy's, and also 80 or more televisions at every single location. The greatest thing about the Duffy's is you don't have to make tough decisions outside of the menu. Once you're done making your tough decisions on, oh, am I going to get the amazing mozzarella sticks? Am I going to go with the, maybe you want to get some nachos? Maybe you just go straight for the burger or the wings. After you're done making those tough decisions, you look up, TV's everywhere. You're watching hockey, basketball, golf, tennis, whatever's on at your command. Duffy Sports Grill, it's the best place to be at to check out some games and kick back some drinks. Duffy'sMVP.com. At Duffy's, our game is always on.
And those 2-for-1s come in clutch, dude. Because it's not just what they got on tap or what's in the well. It's everything, baby.
Yeah.
Everything is 2-for-1.
If you're doing a Jack and Coke, if you're going with like a margarita, something nice, something fancy, or what's a more simpler drink? What's a simpler fella's drink? Just a beer, a brew.
Yeah. Whatever.
2-for-1. All day, every day. Man, it is it's starting to feel like a thirsty Thursday, but it's really a Tuesday, and we're going to bring in now Dean Thomas and Tina for Theoreticals here, and we are going to discuss the elephant in the room, Caitlin Clark and the flagrant foul that happened between her and Kennedy Carter of the Chicago Sky. Dean Thomas has a wealth of experience in not just fighting, but training professional women fighters. We're going to ask him about if the physicality of that is just uncomfortable for people to deal with because it's not men with the quote-unquote gruesome acts or the quote-unquote assault that people are saying. We'll discuss that and more when we come back. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It is a tantalizing Tuesday here on Theoretically Speaking. Myself, Theo Dorsey with you. Me and C-Cat been kicking it since 5 o'clock. And now we've got ourselves a full house. Let's do a quick roll call. A quick roll call right here. Let's start right here in front of me with our friend, our best friend, the girl next door, Tina in the crib.
I am here.
Let's get it. And we've got coming from, what are you, Vegas last weekend?
I was in Newark, New Jersey, and Austin, Texas.
Okay, you're coming from multiple cities. I don't know how you do both at the same time. Dean Thomas.
What it do?
Now, were these for UFC? Was this like for fights?
Yeah, on Thursday, Karate Combat was in Austin, Texas. Joe Rogan was in effect. Mm. And then Saturday, Newark, New Jersey, UFC 302, Dustin Poirier, Islam, right. Makhachev.
So here, I do have a quick fight question before we get into, because I want to ask you both about this Caitlin Clark stuff, right? All of the discourse around it, but more specifically about the physicality in women's sports and how we're dealing with that. What's happening in the fight world right now? Why is everybody ducking smoke and missing press conferences and canceling, postponing fights?
Man, listen, when you got power like Conor McGregor, you do what you want. And that's what we've always wanted. We've wanted fighters to have power. But what happens when you give these guys power, they take advantage of it. And now we got guys missing press conferences and doing whatever it is that they want to do.
You still, they're still going to fight, though? You think it's still happening?
Yeah, I still think it's going to happen. I just think that Conor's doing a power play. I mean, this entire, for the last 2 years, he's had Michael Chandler on a string going, we're going to fight. No, we're not. Now we're going to fight it this way. We're going to fight it that way. And now they called the press conference, and then Michael Chandler about to get on the plane, and Conor's like, nope, we're not doing it.
That's crazy.
That's annoying.
It was in Ireland.
I know. I'm saying, like, and he's like, and he's like, due to obstacles out of our control, I'm like, okay, Conor McGregor, one of the most powerful men in sports, Dana White, one of the most powerful men in sports, what sort of obstacles could get in the way that these guys couldn't handle in Ireland? Nothing. It's
some,
nothing.
Some extra beers. I don't, what's going on? Have you been to Ireland?
I've never been to Ireland, but,
you know, nothing in there interests you.
Nah.
Have you I saw
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Were you in that?
So I was not in that, but I saw it.
C-Cat showed me that news clip like 2 weeks ago. And being a guy that used to work in local news, I felt like I had saw all the viral local news videos, but somehow that one missed
you
my
never
purview.
Saw the everybody saw Leprechaun say yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I never saw that. You
reference.
Never saw that?
That's what he was referencing. No, I had never seen it until like 2 or 3 weeks ago when C-Cat showed me.
I've never seen this.
It is a ridiculous news story where apparently there was something that looked like a leprechaun in some neighborhood and they did a whole like 3-minute piece on it.
Okay.
In local news. Sometimes it's slow news days.
Sometimes, yeah.
And you just gotta deal with that. There has been a slow like news week in the basketball realm because of the fact that we had these quick conference finals, and it spawned all of this discourse in the WNBA around Caitlin Clark and Kennedy Carter. A quick summarization of it. Have you both seen Kennedy Carter from the Chicago Sky hip-checking Caitlin Clark from the Indiana Fever and putting her onto the ground, that play that happened on Saturday?
Yes.
You've seen the push.
Yeah, I saw the push.
Okay. So it has sparked a lot of discourse. Here is actually after her battle with Stephen A. Smith that left him speechless on First Take. Here is Monica McNutt on the nightcap with Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco talking specifically about Caitlin Clark's struggles early in the WNBA and how people are making too much of how hard the league is being on her.
Jordan as a rookie, Ocho. Right? LeBron as a rookie, like Wimby as a rookie. When you look at guys that have gone on to be great, I'm sure they would not say their rookie years were cakewalks. Now, in the case of LeBron, and if we use Wimby this year, they have physically dominant and powerful statures. And so maybe that has allowed them to skirt some of the curve. But Caitlin is a guard coming from college. She got to get her weight up. The W has to continue to allow her to be one of the leaders of this platform, as Angel Reese has also been, because I know that's going to be a hot topic tomorrow. And so my whole thing is just, it doesn't have to be either or. It can be both. But the prevailing idea that it's the W versus Caitlin and that these women don't understand the power of the eyeballs and the audience that she's helped grow the league to, that's just unfair.
By the way, the Saturday game between the Sky and the Fever, the most watched WNBA game this year so far. She's still drawing the attention and the eyes. Now she's been drawing the ire of commentators and sports talkers about why people are being so rough on her. Specifically, I want to start with you, Tina. When you see what happened to Caitlin Clark in that play with Kennedy Carter, did that look like something that was just so out of bounds that needed to spark all of this debate?
I just like couldn't believe it. And it's her own teammate. It's really upsetting to me because the WNBA is thriving right now and we should have so much positivity around it. And we have right now so much negativity.
I feel like part of it is people aren't used to seeing women get that physical with each other in a sport and then having to talk about it. It's put people in weird situations. Mm-hmm. We saw Pat McAfee go above and beyond with his word choice in the wrong way, trying to describe Caitlin Clark. It's almost like we're putting ice skates on Warren Sapp and telling him to hop in the NHL right now. People are feeling out of position here. Dean Thomas, you come from the fight world. You are a UFC fighter, and then you became a coach recently. You also have coached women in this sport very heavily. Do you feel like part of this is, you know, some people just being a little weird about the physicality of women in sports? Oh, absolutely,
100%. And even in my sport, there's this bias for referees to stop women's fights a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no, we have to save them before they get hurt. And that happens. Happens all the time. And that was something that I'm actually on the commission for, the boxing commission for, I don't know, for MMA. It's
really important position.
It's a really important position. But that was something that I brought up. I was like, why is there this bias that we feel as though we have to protect, put extra protection on women? As soon as one of them goes down, oh, stop the fight. But you allow guys to go a little bit longer. It's just bias that we have, that we feel that we have to protect women. Now, Caitlin Clark got into the league, and yes, they're being hard on her. But so what? They're always hard on the new person that gets all the love. It happens in every sport to everybody. Anybody who comes in with buzz, they're going to be harder on them. It happens in my sport, in any sport that ever existed, they're going to be harder on them.
Dean, did you have a learning curve when you first started? Like, who was the first woman you started coaching in MMA, and what was that experience like? What did you grow from with that?
Well, I mean, I've coached women my entire career because I've always had schools and so on and so forth. But right now, my main person that I do coach is Jillian Robertson from Port St. Lucie.
Yep,
yes. Go ahead. Wetwood. Westwood in the house. But so I work with her. And I mean, it's a bit different because, you know, there's emotion. They're a little bit more emotional at times. And there's that time of the month where they're very emotional at times. So
they get after you.
And it's a little bit different. But at the same time, you still treat them as a human being.
Yeah.
And they're just like everybody else. And so you got to just say, listen, you know, it is what it is.
And it is what it is when it comes to Caitlin Clark, because at the end of the day, too, we're going to have to eventually let the basketball speak for itself. I have, for both of y'all, we can jump right into actually the theoretical for today, because this one is pretty topical. I like this one. And let's just jump right into it because I want to hear our nice big intro.
Get your margaritas ready.
Let's go, girl.
And make it a double. Because it's time for Theoreticals with our resident girl next door, Tina.
Let's do this.
Today's theoretical brought to you by
O Palm Beach.
Oh, Paul, there we go. I was like, I didn't want to, I was going to say,
was it brought by anybody? Beach.
You were looking at me and I was like, are we thinking the same thing?
Well, we are. I was thinking relaxation. I was thinking about being able to be in a mind of zen, and I almost fell into it right there as we thought about who this theoretical is brought to us by.
Oh, yeah. Well, O Palm Beach, you know, it's official. School's out. Summer has officially arrived, so you know what that means. If you can't go away, staycations are the way to go. And O Palm Beach is my favorite in South Florida. It's a Forbes 5-star resort with private beach, 2 oceanfront pools, a spacious guest room, and a reimagined kids and teens club. The O Spa is also a 5-star spa that offers massages, facials, pedicures, and more. And I'm actually excited. I'll be getting a spa treatment in a few weeks there. I'll be getting a massage. You can book your stay today, and Florida residents receive 15% off the best available rate now through October 31st. Visit EAUPalmBeach.com for more information. That is EAUPalmBeach.com.
Oh, Palm Beach, and oh my, this theoretical has something to do with cars.
Oh.
Yeah.
A little vehicular discussion right here.
Okay.
All right, so get this, Dean.
All right.
Get this, Tina. Get this, Theo. You've had a classic car you've been working on restoring in your garage for 2 years.
I can see it already.
Your girlfriend, who lives with you, has made it clear she is tired of the car taking up space in the garage and gives you a 6-month ultimatum to finish the restorations or get rid of it.
That's pretty fair.
Okay.
Six months is a long time.
She got a lot of... 6 months is enough time for her to find a new spot.
So you get busy at work. You kind of fall behind on your end of the deal on restoring the car. And after 4.5 months, you go out of town for a weekend. You return home to find out your girlfriend drove that same car to a scrapyard. What do you do?
See, that's an executive decision on a major purchase that is beyond the line of someone that's just a girlfriend to do. I couldn't even imagine that being a thing that I have to, you know, take up a situation with. And also, like Dean said, like, kick out is like, that would be the least of my concern. I would not even want to speak to this person again.
No.
If you dump my car off at a scrapyard that I've been supposed to be working on for the past 4 months.
But it has to have some meaning to it as well. Like, you have this old car. I would be so mad. So mad.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd talk to him either. I'd be like, you have to leave. This isn't okay.
Well, I mean, there's a, you know.
She didn't stick to the 6 months. She stuck to 4.5 months.
But we don't know how much money her family got and all these different things like that. Like, that's a part of the equation, too. Like, if her family got a lot of money and you could benefit in different ways, you know what I'm saying? You might want to keep her around.
Well, here's the question.
She could throw away your car?
And maybe get another car, you know what I'm saying?
When you put it in the scrapyard.
She could have done the restorations if she had money.
Do you get money for it when you drop it off at the scrapyard, or is it a drop off?
I don't think you get a lot.
Yeah, they can pay you a lot. Yeah.
Don't you pay money to dispose of a car in a scrapyard? I think there's like a disposal fee.
I've never been to a scrapyard. Well, so I don't know.
But we also got to figure out how she got home from the scrapyard if she dropped the car off. That's important too.
Which means she probably ordered a tow truck. Money. Yeah,
assuming she has money. No, but she's now real talk. Someone who disrespect me like that, gotta go.
It's over with.
Yeah. It's over with. It's over with. It's like, if you drop the car off, just stay there.
I think you could file a case. Like, that's illegal.
That's theft, yeah.
That is theft, especially, and the car's destroyed.
If it's a girlfriend. This is not your wife. Y'all don't own the same property at this point. Y'all aren't one. Y'all are two people, and that one person that brought the car to the scrapyard's got to go to jail.
Could you imagine if you put her in jail and she went to jail and you had to go visit her in jail?
Why would you visit her?
You didn't put money in her commissary.
You charged her, but you didn't break up with her?
Yeah.
I think we have our decision. So we're all leaving. We're all leaving in that scenario.
I'm putting her in jail now that I know that that's an option.
That's an option for sure. That's the option I'm going with. Just 30 days to get her mind right. That theoretical brought to you by Old Palm Beach. But Tina, you are a person of many different trades and whatnot. And also, when you get suited up for your spa, you have to go to one place and one place only to find the right clothing.
Oh, yes. When I'm going to Old Palm Beach in 2 weeks, I am going to do a staycation myself, going to hang out by the pool. So I have to go to the Gardens Mall to get all my cute outfits, to be hanging out by the poolside, get a new swimsuit. I'm even going to go to dinner, you know, so get a cute outfit for that. And the only place I go to is the Gardens Mall. I'm actually checking out Tap 42 as well this week. That just opened up there. And they have so many new stores and restaurants opening up in 2024. You can check out thegardensmall.com to see what is coming. Again, I-95 East and PJ Boulevard, the Gardens Mall, is the premier shopping destination in Palm Beach County.
When we come back, we take you home on Theoretically Speaking. It's Tina, Dean, C-Cat, and Theo Dorsey, a full party on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It was supposed to be one of the greatest fights to happen, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, and at least for now, we no longer have a date on that. We'll address that. We'll ask Dean Thomas if he believes this fight's ever even going to happen. Maybe Mike Tyson's body saving him from himself. If your body's feeling some aches, some pains, some growing pains, or maybe some joint pain, if that's affecting your quality of life, at Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. This tweet from now 5 days ago, I guess, from Netflix, the official account. Unfortunately, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson will not face off on July 20th as planned. Tyson's recent ulcer flare-up has limited his ability to train fully for the next few weeks. Dean, We talked about this. What was that? That had to be a couple of months ago when it first was announced.
Yeah.
You said Mike Tyson at 58 years old don't need to be stepping into that ring with that young bull.
Man, what other sport do they let a 58-year-old, combat sport, do they let a 58? I mean, could you imagine if a football team allowed this to happen? They would never let a 50-year-old guy play.
Yes.
Why would, see, people know so little about fighting. It's the truth. It's just they know so little about fighting that they think it's okay. And in movies, the old guy is the bad dude. And Listen, it doesn't work that way. It's like any other sport, man. Once you hit a certain age, that's it. That's why there's never been a champion under 155 pounds ever win a title fight in the UFC at over 35. Over 35 at 155 pounds and under, there's never been a fighter to win a championship.
So with that being said, would you still tune in, Tina? Dean, if this fight does eventually happen?
I would tune in.
I would not. I wasn't really, like, this didn't, I wasn't interested in this at all. I also could have predicted that this wasn't actually going to happen. I didn't want it to happen.
Yeah.
I just think these fights are weird, and I was like, why is he doing this? Well, why?
It's got to be the money. I mean, Dean said he would fight Mike Tyson for like $10,000.
Yeah, I would. But he's 50 years, I mean, 60 years old.
So it's a lot different. It's a lot different in that sense.
I mean, if you look at the clips, man, they're real short clips of him, cut up of him hitting pads, and everybody's like wowed by this. I'm just like, yo, they're not showing him doing a whole round. And now he got this healthcare. Man, I'm telling you, this fight ain't going to happen.
It's not.
It's not going to happen.
I felt the same way when it first was announced. And then when this came out, I was like, yeah, that's an easy excuse to latch on to. We do this every single day. We take you home. I know who I want to take. And today I'll take you home with this. Mike Tyson actually tweeted on my birthday 3 days before that announcement. Now feeling 100%, even though I don't need to beat Jake Paul. Lie detector says...
I thought he was going to tweet out, happy birthday, Theo. Keep up the good work.
Nine. That would have been nice as well. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy. Freddie and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.